The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here back at the Intermountain Health Performance Center. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good folks at Coors Light, and a special edition of Upon Further Review because this is our final UFR of league year 2023. That is right. The league new year is around the corner. It'll be Wednesday, March 14th at 1 p.m. We will officially turn the calendar. We will have the confetti and the celebration and say, hey, we're doing this thing again, which also coincides with the start of free agency. So what are we doing today? Well, today we're just doing a little free agency primer. We're just getting all you guys ready for what is going to happen next week. This feels like kind of the week before the week, if you will. Last week we were at the Combine in Indy, dominating, doing all that fun stuff. This week we are here at the facility, recharging, recalibrating, and getting ready for next week, which, as all of you guys know, one of the more exciting, one of the more eventful, one of the more hashtag content-inducing weeks of the NFL year. And man, I can't wait. So let us just begin at the beginning. So today is, we're recording this on Wednesday. We're a little ahead of the curve this week here in the old facility. We're recording this on Wednesday the 6th. So in between now and next week, what will happen? Well, on Monday, so after we enjoy a beautiful weekend here in Las Vegas, where spring has, fingers crossed, officially sprung, beginning next Monday, or I should say this Monday, at 9 a.m., Monday, March 11th, that is when legal tampering opens, right? So what does that mean? That means when we wake up on Monday morning and you guys go into work and you're, you know, very secretly looking at your phone or checking the Twitter when you're in your office, what will be happening? Well, at that point, the Ian Rappaports of the world, the Tom Pelisseros, the Adam Schefters, the newsbreakers, as it were, will start doing what they do, breaking news. Now, I think what is the most important kind of caveat into all of this, though, is the verbiage, right? Like whether it's Schefter, Rap Daddy, whoever it may be. When they tweet out, when they post, hey, player X, the verbiage will go like this or something like this. Player X has agreed to terms with team Y. It won't be player X has signed a contract with team Y, right? Because legally speaking, players' front offices are not allowed to officially do deals on Monday. They are allowed to agree in principle to deals. They are allowed to start having substantive conversations about contracts and language and length of terms, things like that. But they are not able to officially put pen to paper. So when will they be able to officially put pen to paper? I'm glad you asked. Go time, as AKA pen to paper time, is going to be Wednesday, so a week from today, Wednesday, March 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. I'm keeping all these times in Pacific because that is the time zone that we are living in, right? So legal tampering begins Monday at 9 a.m., start the day, and then you can officially put pen to paper Wednesday, March 14th at 1 o'clock p.m. So, you know, those 72 hours, or I guess a little less than 72 hours, are some of my favorite across the league because it is what I like to call cryptic tweet season. It's the best. Now, whether it's players that are about to get cut, players that are going to sign, you know, that big money deal, whatever it may be, the amount of cryptic tweets, the amount of cryptic Instagram stories over the course of those 2 days is fantastic. Whether it's from the money sign, the devil emoji, the you know, the X, whatever it may be, it's so good, and I get such joy and such enjoyment out of just trying to cipher through all of these fantastic cryptic tweets and posts. It's honestly like I'm not even trying to put on. It is one of my favorite things to do this time of the year. We'll get song lyrics. That's another great one. We'll get the cryptic photo of someone standing way in the background, and you can just barely make them out. Oh, but what are they standing next to? Oh, is this their hometown? Like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. I cannot wait. It is such a blast to decipher through it. And then really, you know, beginning, as I said, Wednesday, March 14th at 1 o'clock p.m., when folks can start signing their deals, that is that's when we really start going. That's when we really start rocking. That's when guys can, again, like I said, put pen to paper. They can start officially, you know, inking these new contracts. And I think most importantly, you will start seeing teams announcing these deals, right? You will not see teams, and again, I go back to the verbiage all the time. You will not see any teams, whether it is us, whether it is the Niners, whether it is the Chiefs, whether it is the Bengals, that will say, we have signed player X before Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m. Come Wednesday at 1:01 p.m., the floodgates will open, and you will see signing announcements and photos and all that good stuff. But you will see nothing official before Wednesday, March 14th at 1 p.m. So that's kind of like the timeline of what's going to happen. Goes without saying, we will have you guys covered at Silver and Black Productions every which way, hopefully beginning right around Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m. But as is the case with all these things, you know, it is certainly a process. It'll be really interesting to see with Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce, how they go about building their team out, how they go about addressing the needs on this roster, because let's make no mistake about it, there are needs on this roster. One more quick piece of bookkeeping, if you will. We officially passed the deadline when teams can use the franchise tag. So the Raiders did not use the franchise tag. We see it utilized. I want to say it was used 8 times this offseason for teams that wanted to keep their guys under contract for another year, but without agreeing to a long-term situation with them. But the Raiders did not use that again. We remember they used it a year ago on Josh Jacobs. They will not be using it as we go into league year 2024. So before we get out of here, though, I just wanted to really quickly give you guys a refresher on the guys that are up, the free agents that are scheduled to hit the open market for the Silver and Black, beginning in just a few days' time. So the Raiders have 17 unrestricted free agents. So what does that mean? That means guys that, you know, they can go out, they are free to test the market, they are free to sign wherever they want to sign, beginning, you guessed it, Wednesday, March 14th at 1 o'clock p.m. So in alphabetical order, these are the Raiders' unrestricted free agents. Amir Abdullah, Brandon Bolden, Curtis Bolton, Adam Butler, DeAndre Carter, Jonas Grisou, Jermaine Illuminor, Austin Hooper, Jesper Horsted, Josh Jacobs, yeah, more on that in a sec, Andre James, John Jenkins, Jakob Johnson, Bilal Nichols, Brandon Parker, Greg Van Roten, and Amik Robertson. So those are the guys that are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents here at the start of the league year. And certainly no shortage of intrigue on those names. I mean, we just go in order, right? I mean, Amir Abdullah, a guy who has been really effective, has been a great special teams piece, who has been a great third down option for the Silver and Black since he joined the team here in Las Vegas. Jakob Johnson, friend of the program, a dude who has certainly seen his role kind of change under the new regime, but a really good football player. Interesting to see what happens with him. Brandon Parker, a dude who has been here for a very long time, who has just managed to, when healthy, to be a really great kind of swing tackle depth piece along the offensive line. But again, we talk about that health and kind of how it has negatively impacted Mr. Parker here over the past couple of years. Greg Van Roten, a dude who played a lot of football along the offensive line for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2023. Interested to see what happens with him. Amik Robertson, again, another friend of the program, a dude who is a fan favorite, a guy who has really kind of endeared himself to this fan base, who has played a lot of meaningful football, a guy that has been counted out time after time after time and after time, and has time after time after time after time shown that he belongs to be in the NFL. He belongs, as a guy on the 53. He's a dude who has made big play after big play, who has, you know, really electrified this fan base with his play at times, and it's just a really good dude. So interested, to see what will happen to Big Meek. And then Josh Jacobs, the big question, right? That is when you look at the list of 17 dudes, That is the big question. What is going to happen with our guy, JJ? Selfishly, and this is not an endorsement, and this is not me spilling state secrets, it would be awesome to see Josh back in silver and black. In so many ways, the embodiment of everything that it means to be a Raider, a tough, hard-nosed, no-nonsense type of dude. A dude who just shows up, goes to work, and just a little over a year ago finishes the league leader in rushing yards. What will it look like in 2024 for Josh Jacobs under the Antonio Pierce era, the Tom Telesco era? We remains to be seen. But a dude who, like I said, man, is a fan favorite, is a favorite here in our department, is just a good dude, and a really, really talented back in the NFL. So very, very interested, obviously, to see what happens with JJ. Moving on to the restricted free agents, the Silver and Black have two of them. That would be Tyler Hall and Austin Walter. And bringing us home, our exclusive rights free agents, the Raiders have three of them. Kanai Mauga, Jordan Meredith, and Isaiah Polamau. So we look at 17, as I do some quick math, 19, 22 players scheduled to hit free agency in some way, shape, or form for the Silver and Black. Yes, very, very interesting. And look, I think this is the nature of the beast in the NFL. I forget the exact number, but essentially it's a third of your roster turns over every year. You know, you see these big, you know, sweeping changes in the NFL, maybe more than you do in other sports, just because, one, the number of guys on a roster, but just the way that the contracts are done, just the way that the business side of the NFL works. So the Raiders, like every other team in the NFL, will be going to address their needs in free agency. I'll be really interested to see, you know, Tom Telesco's approach to free agency. He alluded to it at the combine, you know, speaking with the locals as well as Bucky Brooks and Rhett Lewis. And he said, you know, obviously this first year in a program, you probably lean on free agency a little bit more, not than you'd like, but probably more than you will in subsequent years, just because there's so many things that you want to build into the roster kind of in your own image and likeness. And again, with Tom and AP now working in partnership, working in lockstep, it will be interesting to see how they go about building this roster, how they go about filling these holes. Because as I said, man, the Raiders are not unique in this, but they are going to have a lot of things to address over the coming weeks and months. And free agency, just the way that it falls on the calendar, it'll be very interesting to see how they do just that. Will they go big game hunting in free agency? Will they have a big splash in free agency? Or will it be a more methodical, purposeful approach? Will it be, you know, adding depth along the lines? Will it be adding depth to a secondary that really had moments in 2023, but certainly needs an infusion of talent a little bit? Will it be adding to a linebacking core? Will it be, you know, some of these, I don't want to say second tier, but, you know, some of these maybe not household name type of free agents, guys that are just going to come in, that are going to compete for a roster spot, that are going to be good, great core special teamers? What does that kind of aspect of all of this look like? So, you know, we talked about it a lot, and we talked about it during the combine, and we've certainly talked about it since Tom Telesco and AP were announced officially in late January. But I think every kind of every moment, every kind of date circled on the calendar, every NFL event, really for the next year, we're going to be able to learn a little bit more about what this Telesco Pierce vision of Raiders football looks like. And I think Antonio's given us a really clear vision of what he wants in terms of players, in terms of what he wants out of a signal caller, right? I know we're going to discuss that a lot. He's kind of let us know what he covets in a player. Now it'll be interesting on the opposite side of that to see how Tom Telesco goes about building that vision out. And again, I'm a firm believer there's no right way to do it in the NFL. You look at obviously teams like the Chiefs, and they do it one way, been really successful. You look at teams like the Niners, they've done it in a different way, but also been really successful. The Eagles do it a different way. There's 32 different ways to go about doing this, and I will be really, really intrigued to see which way Antonio Pierce and Tom Telesco ultimately decide to build this thing out in 2024. And I think, again, and I said a little bit ago, I think the way that they go about this in 2024 might be a little bit different than the way we see them do this a year from now, right? You know, I think just a year from now, Tom and AP are going to have a lot more of their air quotes guys in the building. They're going to have a better idea of really how to build this roster out. And I've said this a lot since they kind of, you know, took over. It's not about building a team for just 2024, right? Like, I would love if the Raiders just, you know, say, hey, 2024 is our year. We're going to have this huge jump. We're going to compete. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. That would be great. That would be awesome. I would be all for that. I would love every single second of excitement and thrill that we would get from that. But I get the sense, and I feel like this is really the appropriate way to attack it. I get the sense that it's not a one-year stopgap, a one-year quick fix for Tom and AP. It's how do we build this into a sustained competitor? How do we do this not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 3 years, but how do we do this for 5 years? How do we remain consistent for a decade? How do we compete against the Chiefs at the highest level year after year after year after year? How do we ensure that we don't have these kind of, you know, shooting star type moments? You know, we go back to 2021, an incredible season, but how do we make sure that that's the, you know, not the exception, that's the rule? And it's no easy task, right? I mean, it is a hard thing to do. Team building is hard in the NFL, right? We talk about just the pure numbers of guys on a roster, the business aspect of this, how difficult it is to stay healthy, the element of luck that's involved in all of this. But man, I mean, when you do it and whoever does it, and I hope it's Tom and AP and they can do this thing right and they can build a sustained competitor, ooh, it is going to be a lot of fun, man. It is going to be so much fun. But step one, really for them, begins next week, next Wednesday, as free agency starts, the turn of the league year, and we get rocking and rolling. And man, we officially at that point say, hey, we're doing this. Off season, over. See ya. I enjoyed the 10 days, but we're back to business, and it's going to be an absolute blast. So again, I encourage all you guys, hang out with us at Silver and Black Productions, Raiders.com. We are going to have you guys covered every single which way as we dive in to the start of the league year 2024. But before we get out of here, even though we're still just kind of prepping for next week, we can still crack an ice cold bruchacho. And this week, man, we're going to crack a brewski for friend of the program, Sebastian Janikowski, who celebrated his birthday over the weekend on March 2nd. Man, nothing but love and respect to our guy Seabass. Still one of the best characters, one of my favorite dudes that we have ever had. Well, he didn't walk through this building. He walked through the building in Alameda. But just a great Raider, and I always get a kick out of it. And I will make a concerted effort to do this next year because I feel like I do it a lot of the games, a lot of the home games. But I'm gonna put this on, not on paper, but I'm going to put this on recording to remind myself. It feels like every game that I go to, you see a Sebastian Janikowski jersey. You see at least one floating around Allegiant Stadium. And for good reason, too. One of the goats of kicking, just an incredible character, incredible kicker, and a dude who did it the right way in the silver and black for a really, really long time. And I'm gonna keep an eye out next year to see if every game that we're at Allegiant, I can see a Sebastian Janikowski jersey. And I have a feeling that I will, because the fan base loves Seabass and Seabass loves him right back. So happy birthday, Seabass. Congratulations on all the success after the playing days wrapped up. And man, I hope we get the Bass here in this building sooner than later. That'd be pretty cool. So before we get out of here, though, just a friendly reminder, download the official Raiders app as we get ready for free agency next week. Make sure you're locked in with us on, not only on this pod feed, but for the Raiders NFL Draft Podcast with Bucky Brooks and Rhett Lewis. They've been doing a phenomenal job. Their next episode of the show, I believe, will go out today, either today or tomorrow, based upon their recording schedule, where they're going to give us all of their top-end thoughts from the Combine, what they saw, what they heard that could pertain to the silver and black, and really if they've had any kind of changes of opinion, if what they saw, heard, and kind of witnessed during that week in Indy, if that changed any of their thought process for what the Raiders will do at number 13 overall. But in between now and the draft, we got a lot to do, beginning with the start of free agency next week. So rest up, Raider Nation. Enjoy the weekend. For Eddie Pascal and everyone here at Silver and Black Productions, we thank you for hanging out with us, and we will see you guys next week as we get ready, as we turn the page to 2024 on our next episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.